Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Street. I am Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of my shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Well, today, I'm interviewing director and screenwriter Brian Hecker, who you might remember from his hilarious, true-to-his-own-life comedy, Bart Got a Room, and I think I have him on the line right now. Let me check. Brian, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hey, Rachel. How are you?
Okay. Good. Okay, well, we're going to dive right in talking about Bart Got a Room. But let's step back for a second about how you started out here in Hollywood, Florida, and you went on to college and ended up at AFI. Tell us a little bit about that journey and your passion for film that drew you there.
Well, I was always interested in acting. I was in the speech and debate team, and I competed in the category of humorous interpretation. And so I was always very hell-bent on becoming an actor until I went to Los Angeles. I was interning in different aspects of the entertainment business while I was in college in Chicago. I would come out to Los Angeles, and I would go out on these auditions, and I would be told in a way that was sort of a slap to the face that I was too big, I was too broad. My acting style was not really in sync with the subtle tone of television and film. And
right.
I think it was at that point I realized that acting wasn't for me. But I became a director shortly thereafter, and I became a director with the intent of acting, of directing actors with a very subtle style, because I always knew that I could never do that myself. So that was sort of the journey of acting to directing.
Okay. And you did very well for yourself at AFI. You made a film called Family Attraction that did very well, and you ended up getting accolades there and working with Chris Penn and Martin Sheen. How did that come about?
I was, in my first year at the American Film Institute, I ended up selling a screenplay to Universal Studios. It was actually the very first version of Bart Got a Room. I sold it to Sid Sheinberg, who was he used to run Universal. He discovered Steven Spielberg, and then he went off and started this company with his two sons. And it was an adjunct of Universal. Universal financed their project. And so I wrote this project for them, and based on that, I had a lot of opportunities from different agents wanting to represent me, and I would use their interest in representing me as sort of leverage to ask them if they could help me get a well-known actor to be in my student film while I was still at AFI. And so that was interesting. I remember talking to a William Morris agent and saying, if you can get me Billy Crystal, sign with you. And I think that approach only went so far with some of the A-listers, because I don't know if they wanted to jeopardize their relationship with those actors. But Chris Penn was someone that was interested in sort of stretching himself, the late, great Chris Penn, who very talented actor. Unfortunately, his life ended a little too soon. And he ended up doing my project, and he was great. And then he helped me get Martin Sheen, and that was a real thrill. I remember working with my cinematographer. We were storyboarding our shots, and we got this voicemail message from Martin Sheen saying, "Hello, Brian, it's Martin Sheen. I'd be delighted to do your student film." And I remember just jumping up and down, being so thrilled, because and my cinematographer at the time, he was a student, and he was from Norway. And so the films that these Norwegian cinematographers obsess over are films like Apocalypse Now. So that was such a great thrill for him as well to get Martin Sheen. So once that was a great experience. We shot that in 11 days. You could see it on iTunes. Considered one of the highest grossing short films that AFI has ever put out there. So that was a real exciting achievement. And then that led to lots of different opportunities, developing, being in the Hollywood shuffle, and just lots of ups and downs with agents and working with different production companies and developing different projects. And, I've developed different projects for different studios, Miramax, MGM, Universal, and Paramount, and it's been definitely an interesting journey. And Bart got a room, so as I had mentioned before, was originally set up at Universal. They put it into turnaround, which means they gave up on the project, but Miramax bought it out of turnaround, and they redeveloped it with me, and then they put it into turnaround, and then it became this journey to find these independent financiers to basically buy it from Miramax and then just make it with me independently.
Hmm. And you had some great talent in that as well, William H. Macy, Cheryl Hines, Jennifer Tilly. Did your working with Martin Sheen and Chris Pan kind of lead you to get those bigger actors?
Well, you know, it's funny because Hollywood is a great metaphor for life in many ways. You can attract people of great caliber to your project when the hype is there, when it's the sort of topic of the month, and then nobody will be interested. You know, another moment in time, depending on the flavor. But there was a moment where nobody was interested, and Bart got a room when we were shopping it around, and then once we got these independent producers on board, we made an offer to Danny DeVito, who immediately responded well to the project, and he was on board and developed the project with me for 8 months.
Oh, great.
Didn't work out. Yeah, that was really exciting and sort of surreal, being with Danny DeVito.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
He was a very nice guy, very cool. He was like, you know, like, I see your movie. It's like, you've got to make this like your Lawrence of Arabia, you know? And he was great, but, you know, it didn't work out with the nuts and bolts when it came down to the particulars, the producing deal. He wanted something else that the producers didn't want to share with him. So we ended up trying to make offers to other actors, and then Billy Crystal was someone that certainly I felt represented my father in many ways, mm-hmm. and this is being an autobiographical piece, Billy Crystal being that sort of Nebuchadnezzar, a Jewish guy with the curly hair, is a great, very loved, just sort of that lovable loser type, you know. And, you know, it wasn't that easy to get Billy Crystal, a couple of these other guys. And then I saw the movie Edmund, a very small film that David Mamet wrote, which I think is an excellent film, very low budget, starring William H. Macy, very dark. And I saw that movie, and I was like, oh, my God, William H. Macy, my God, this is the person we need to have in Bart Got a Room. He would be such a great mm-hmm. choice. And so we made an offer, and William H. Macy is one of these actors that really takes the time to read scripts. If there's an offer on the table, he takes it seriously. He's a real true artist, and I met with him, and just a real mensch, really great guy. And my work on Family Attraction, having Chris Penn and Martin Sheen, I don't think that really helped too much. I think it was more about just the script and mm-hmm. the meeting that we took, and just an offer on the table. That helps too, because without money and an offer, it's very difficult for you to get these actors to pay attention to these scripts. We get so many projects coming their way, and you could have an Academy Award worthy project, but if there's not money to offer these actors, then it just gets lost in the shuffle. It's so difficult to get them to pay attention.
How did you raise money for the film?
Well, you know, I found these fantastic producers. Actually, it's funny because there is a connection. Everything is linked in some way to Family Traction. The mm-hmm. one of the production assistants on Family Traction was this woman who had graduated Oxford University. She was a real go-getter, and she left. She left England. She wanted to just sort of see what Hollywood was like. She just wanted to sort of dip her foot in. And she ended up signing up for a PA service and ended up on my student thesis film working as a PA. And she ended up becoming a second assistant director. And it's funny, she had to hold an umbrella over Chris Penn during the Lorraine, and she was great. She was very very smart and very determined and tenacious. And she called me up 5 years later after the project. She was an HBO executive, and she said that she was starting a company with two other ladies in New York called Plum Pictures, and her name is Celine Rattray. And these three women, they were just incredibly smart and tenacious, and they had a company that they raised their own capital to sort of support themselves, and their big thing was to make these offers to actors, get them interested in projects. And she asked me if I had a project, and I had Bart Got a Room, which was in turnaround with Miramax. And so they loved it and committed to it and said, we're going to make this movie happen. And
great.
It's great. It's only Rattray then went on to do The Kids Are All Right. She was one of the producers. It's such a great film. And she did The Bernie with Jack Black, which was great. So it definitely helps to have an amazing producer, but on top of that, an amazing producer that knows how to raise money.
Yeah.
So
now, where can people see Bart Got a Room? Is it out on DVD now?
Oh, yeah. Bart Got a Room is out on DVD. You can see it on Netflix. You could get it on demand. I know a lot of friends are telling me they were able to see that. I don't know if it's still available, but definitely Netflix, Amazon.com. It had a long run on Showtime for a while, which is cool.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's still playing every once in a while. People, I think like something like 85,000 people have seen it on Netflix so far.
That's great.
Yeah, of course, I don't see a dime from it. But that's a whole other story.
And you kind of moved on to screenwriting, and you actually optioned the Lifetime rights for Nolan Bushnell's story, the creator of Atari, and were able to sell it to Paramount. How does that pitching process work? I know you went to all the studios. Tell us a little bit about what you bring into the table. Is it just a spiel that you give? Is it a whole business kit? You know, what do you bring?
Well, that was a really interesting process. You know, when you have something to present to the studio executives, you are in a much more advantageous position, obviously. And we knew about this story. It was this, one of these great untold American stories about the underdog, Nolan Bushnell, who had this vision to create this video game industry, and all the pinball manufacturers thought he was crazy. And it's just this unbelievable story. It was a multi-billion-dollar industry when he started Atari. And he was this young, hippie guy who just had this sort of irreverent attitude, and Steve Jobs was actually one of his first employees. And Nolan Bushnell had this totally irreverent work style where he really embraced the idea of fun and creativity and recreation as the priority, and then hard work after that. Because if you don't have that sort of right frame of mind, a work environment that's conducive to creative inspiration, then you're not going to output good work. So he was really, there's certainly a lot of circumstantial evidence that he was the reason that Apple became what it was. Steve Jobs became so inspired by Nolan Bushnell. Anyway, we approached I had a writing partner who was one of my best friends ever since middle school and high school. He sort of had this independent writing career, struggling in the business, had some projects developed at a couple of studios, and nothing was made on the studio level. We decided to come together and work on a project, and we thought this would be a great story, a biopic about Nolan Bushnell in the 70s. And Craig, my writing partner, Craig Sherman, he had the idea to approach Nolan Bushnell's daughter, and write her an email and try to go through her to get to Nolan Bushnell. And we did. We sent her an email. We sent several. And eventually she came back. She said, look, you know, this is great. A lot of people wanted to tell my dad's story. You should probably meet with my stepmom, Nolan's current wife, because she's sort of the gatekeeper and she's the one that deals with his affairs. So we're like, okay, great. We met with her. We told the story. She had been approached for 15 years, that family, producers and financiers have wanted to talk to them about making a movie,
mm-hmm.
but they never felt it was right. They never felt the people approaching them really cared or were passionate enough about the story and were more interested in the money aspect of it. They
right.
felt it was more soulless. So they saw us, and they said, what's your version of this? And you know, we said we thought this was more than a story about one man. We think this is about the end of an era from this sort of 70s hippie ideology to the 80s corporate culture of greed. And Nolan was really on the front lines because he went through that transition, selling the company to Warner Brothers, and then they destroyed the company because they were all about marketing and not really about creativity and research and development. And it, you know, which is certainly a parable for the film business today too.
Yeah.
It's all about the end result and the happy meals and the toys more than it is about the creative product. So
right.
So she was inspired. She really liked us. She felt she could trust us. And she decided to let us meet Nolan Bushnell. And we got to him, and we had like 150 questions. And at the end of the meeting, it was sort of this assumed thing that he was going to let us write his life story or represent it. And, of
mm-hmm.
course, it was tricky because there was these boilerplate talking points in the contract, in a life rights contract, which states that he's basically giving us the right to embellish and fictionalize anything we want, which is something that you have to have a life rights contract if you're going to sell it to a studio, because no studio ever wants the risk that they could be sued down the road. If they're going to
mm-hmm.
do a movie, they want it to be proof that there's going to be no problem. They're going to have to get control. So that
right.
was tricky. We had to convince Nolan to sign this contract and trust us. And it was a process that took maybe 5-6 months. Once we got Nolan's rights, then we were like, let's go to the top. Let's go to Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg is a video game fanatic. He does period pieces. This is an epic story about this particular time in American history. Why not? So, yeah, our agent pitches Spielberg's agent and says, you know, our agent says, my client represents the man who started the video game industry. They would
mm-hmm.
love to pitch Steven Spielberg, and she said, you sure they have the rights? And our agent said, yes. She went to Spielberg. Spielberg made a joke about how he felt he was sort of the contributor to the demise of Atari with these two video games that he was responsible for, E.T. and Raiders of the Lost Ark, which weren't great Atari games. So he made
uh-huh.
a joke and then said, you know, I don't have time to hear this, but I am intrigued. Have them pitch the president of DreamWorks. So
okay.
that was really cool. So we pitched the president of DreamWorks. We finished this pitch, 45-minute presentation that we memorized. We literally took 3 months to write and memorize this presentation. That we had pictures from Nolan Bushnell's archive, these great pictures of the first video games ever created. And it was really an exciting story just when we started researching, delving into it. And we had the whole presentation, and at the end, the then president of DreamWorks was like, listen, I love this, I get it, I'm the generation that grew up with Atari, but, you know, he was like, can you guarantee me that 20-something-year-olds are going to line up to see this movie? And we said, you know, yes, we think this is a movie about sex and drugs and rock and roll and the end of an era, and it's just an amazing story. You get the right actor to do this. I think,
mm-hmm.
you know, Atari has that sort of retro, hip, name to it. You go to a Target, you can buy Atari boxing
right.
shorts, you know? So
right.
it's, we thought, yes, absolutely. This is a hip, retro, fun, sexy movie. It's Revenge of the Nerds and it's Boogie Nights. And he said, you know, I don't know, I can't, you know, we make these movies that are $70 million movies. I can't guarantee that it's going to make a profit. We're walking out of the meeting and he says, look, if you got Leonardo DiCaprio, the star is Nolan Bushnell. Well, then you have a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we called our agent. We're like, can you get us a meeting with Leonardo DiCaprio's people? And before you know it, we were pitching his producing partner. And
mm-hmm.
she, I mean, that's basically her job, to hear pitches. And it was intriguing enough, you know, because biopics and this, we had the life rights. And she heard our pitch, and she said, this is exactly what DiCaprio wants to do next. He loves period pieces. He loves the 70s. He loves video games. He likes playing smart people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's craving to find a project that has, that's smart, but also has a little bit of a lighter quality to it, like Catch Me If You Can. Because all of his movies,
okay.
So many of his movies are dark, and Catch Me If You Can was a little bit lighter. He's looking for something like that again. So his producing partner, she pitched him on the set of Shutter Island. She calls him, pitches her the story over the phone. He's like, I'm in. This is great. I want to do this. And that was an incredible moment. We get a call from our agent. Leonardo DiCaprio wants to star in and wants to produce our project, Fistful of Quarters.
Mm-hmm.
That's the legend of Nolan Bushnell. So once we had DiCaprio, that was kind of interesting because then, the movie could be about a guy brushing his teeth. But if you have someone like of his caliber attached, it's insane the amount of doors that open up all of a sudden. So
I just want to let you know that we're running out of time almost. So
okay.
I just want
to
wrap up that concept real quick.
Basically, we pitch the president of every major studio in one day from 9 in the morning to about 7, 8 at night. We pitched Sony, MGM, Paramount, Universal, Warner Brothers, and they all wanted it. And we sold it to Paramount, and DiCaprio, it just hasn't been a priority for him. It's not a project he wants to do right now. He still wants to do these darker films. So it's on hold right now, and that project basically led us to working with George Clooney's company, developing a biopic about the Smothers Brothers.
About the Smothers Brothers. Big difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Smothers Brothers, the comedy team in the late
60s,
controversial, who got fired by circumstantial evidence, Richard Nixon firing them. And that's what we're working on for Smokehouse Pictures. But the Atari project has definitely helped us to get that opportunity.
Yeah, that's great. Now, I don't think you have a website personally, but I know you have an IMDb site for you. Is there any other website that you want to kind of put out there right now for everyone? Maybe Bart Got a Room?
Well, there is a bartgotaroom-movie.com website that people could check out.
Okay.
I don't know exactly if that's it. I believe it's bartgotaroom-movie.com, but you could certainly Google it. And I guess that's if you're interested in seeing Bart Got a Room, which is a comedy about my pathetic life growing up in South Florida, you could see it on Netflix. But I don't have a website independent of that, and hopefully the Atari movie, Fistful of Quarters, will come out at some point. If it's not with DiCaprio, hopefully with another actor of his caliber. The good thing about working in as a writer in Hollywood is that none of these projects never have to die. You can always find ways down the road. If you have the passion, you can always try to resuscitate them. And that's definitely the intention with that project. And hopefully the Smothers Brothers project we're working with Sony Pictures and Clooney's company. So we're still working on a first draft, and hopefully that will get to production at some point in the near future.
Great. Maybe when that gets going, I can have you come back on the show.
Sure. Happy to talk about that.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Brian, for being on today, and I'm sure I will talk to you soon.
Okay, great. Thank you, Rachel. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
Talk to you soon. Okay,
bye-bye. Okay, well, that was a very interesting talk with Brian Hecker. He's always very inspirational. And, there's probably a ton more of stories that we could have talked about, so I'd love to bring him back sometime once he gets the Smothers Brothers project underway. Hopefully that will get going with George Clooney and his Atari project with Leonardo DiCaprio. It would be great. A lot of good retro stuff right there. Well, guys, once again, I thank you for listening to the show today, and by the way, this show has been nominated for a Women in the Arts Award. I'm very excited, and there's going to be voting this coming week, and I'll let you guys know about that. I'll probably post something here on the Blog Talk Radio site in my little bio that's on the page. We'll have some information about how to vote, and of course, it'll be on the show as well. In addition, please go to Facebook. I have my Indie Streak site where I will be posting information there as well. I put a lot of different things on there besides my shows. I have castings. I have information on the industry that is exclusive that I don't post anywhere else. So you definitely want to like that page so you stay in the know if you are an industry person. Also, I personally am going to be interviewed on a show that's one of my fellow nominees for another person that has a show that's been nominated for Women in the Arts Award. It's called Peter's Living Room, and it's on the WEI network, and I will be interviewed about my acting experience, etc., next Tuesday, the 17th at 7 p.m., and that website, if you want to check out the show and listen to me talk about myself, is www.weinetwork.com. I'll be interviewed by the great Peter Wayne. Also, check out my other blog talk show if you want to hear more about me talking about myself, which is called Basics of the Biz. On that show, it's not really all about me. It's also about how to get into the industry, how to break in as an actor, headshots, resumes, classes, agents, etc. If you're really just green, just starting out, that's a good place to get some advice. And that's based on a book that I wrote called Basics of the Biz, which is available on Amazon.com. That's a 184-page little book that you can check out. Also, in addition, you can check out my website, independentstreak.ning.com, where I have events, castings, all related to the film industry. I have reviews, interviews, etc. up there. In fact, I wrote something about Brian Hecker, who I just interviewed. I did something for Duo Magazine about him, and I also put something up on my site as well back when Bart Got a Room came out. And that's the type of person that I often interview for my website, too. So keep an eye on that because that's always changing. And I think that's all I have to update with you on. But check back next week. Usually my show is at 1 o'clock. We switched the time today to 2 o'clock. But if you go here on the Blog Talk Radio site, you can see what the upcoming shows are. You never know. I might have a bonus show in the middle of the week. You never know what I'm going to do. I like to keep you on your toes. But normally the show is on Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And you can go back and you can listen, like I said, to all the archives. I've interviewed all kinds of different people, directors, writers, visual artists, etc. And I have some great people coming up, so definitely tune in next week, okay? But thank you so much again for listening in. And if you missed any portion of the show today, like I said, you can go back and listen to the archives. And please pass it along to your friends and let them know that there will be voting soon, and I would really appreciate their vote. Thank you so much, guys. All right, bye-bye.